Study number 15, living by faith. Living by faith. Let's pray together and then we'll get into the Word together. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much for your great goodness to us, and we just love this subject of faith, Lord. We are learning how strategic and important, how huge is this matter of faith. Lord, teach us how to live by faith, even today as we're studying your Word. By the work of your Holy Spirit, open up our hearts, Lord, even as we're in the Word. We know faith comes by hearing the Word. Lord, speak to us words of life that will build faith in our hearts that we might access your glorious grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Living by faith. Again, this builds on our studies on humility and faith, the two relational realities that God wants to develop in people's lives that they might live by grace. God gives grace to the humble. Faith accesses grace. So living by faith. By way of introduction, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It pleases our Lord God when we walk by faith. When we take the steps of each day in dependence upon Him, it pleases Him. And actually, it is impossible to please God any other way. I think it's probably true that we desire to please God. I think it's why we are in a study like this. We desire to please God. We want to bring joy, pleasure, delight to His heart. You know what He loves? When we trust in Him. I know my wife and I, we always loved it when our kids trusted us. You know, just took what we told them and cooperated and counted on it. And there's just something precious about that, you know, when your kids trust you. Well, God loves His kids to trust Him. And, of course, with the picture of us and God, it's even bigger. So right to trust Him. It's so invaluable to trust Him. He should be trusted. It pleases God when we walk by faith. No other approach to life is pleasing to the Lord. Because, see, the Lord wants us to live by His grace. And His grace is accessed, reached into, drawn upon by faith. Of course, that truth, given the most clearly in Scripture in Romans 5:2, through whom, by faith, we have access into this grace in which we stand. A question now that we're going to let the Lord address in the Word, and I think the passages we're going to look at speak powerfully into this issue, and that is, what does a life of faith look like? What does it look like when a person lives by faith? You can word it another way. What will happen in our lives if we walk by faith? To put it another way, what does God's grace do in lives as they live by faith? There's another way to address this issue and restate the question. How broad, how diverse are the consequences of living by faith? Thereby, having God's grace as our resource. All of these verses we're going to read and these examples we're going to look at speak right into those kind of issues. Those are huge questions. And the Lord wants us to understand His answers on it. Well, let's look at some examples of those who God tells us live by faith. Not our guesses, but God tells us. This person lived by faith. In fact, God only tells us they lived by faith. He tells us exactly what happened in their life as they trusted Him. In other words, these are the kind of things we can expect to have happen in our lives. And the broad array of God's work by grace through faith is astounding when you put all these together. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at Abel, Enoch, and Noah. First, Abel, Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By trusting in God, Abel offered acceptable sacrifices to God, as we can also. By faith, trusting God, offer acceptable sacrifices to God. One way we do it is Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Those who live by faith, live by trusting in God. They, like Abel, offer acceptable sacrifices to God. We live by faith in God. We'll end up offering these acceptable sacrifices as a part of our ministry. Sacrifice of praise. That is, by our lips, giving thanks to His name time and time and time and time again. When people live by faith, they offer acceptable sacrifices of worship and service and ministry unto the Lord. That's part of it. But not only Abel is an example, Enoch, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Next verse is kind of an explanation of how he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is believing that God exists and that God responds to those who seek him. Faith believes the evidence God gives that God is real and God is there. Faith believes the promises that God says he'll show himself to those who look to him. And Enoch was that kind of person. While trusting in the Lord, Enoch was taken up into heaven. Someday, one way or another, that will happen to us, we who trust in the Lord. Either we'll be raptured, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, or we'll just be called home to meet the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord will someday dwell with the Lord forever. So, acceptable sacrifices, worship, praise, service, anticipating being in the presence of the Lord someday. These are just some of the things that happen to people who trust the Lord. Hebrews 7 is a great one, of course. Noah. By faith. Noah, see, this is the point in all these stories. This is God telling us that these people lived by faith, and He's even taking out some strategic aspect of their life that was related to their faith. So there's great insight here on what happens with those who live by faith, thereby drawing on the grace of God. I mean, what a list. And it's going to get broad and wide and deep. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By trusting in the Lord, Noah was enabled to carry out an amazing task, probably one that seemed ridiculous to those around him, in fact, no doubt facing much ridicule, building an ark, doing what seems so foolish, an ark, a big floating vessel, in light of a flood of judgment coming? Come on, no way. Noah believed God. He didn't do this on some almanac long-range weather forecast. He wouldn't have gotten that. God told him, this is what's coming. Here's what I want you to do. And he did what seemed ridiculous. He did what seemed impossible. He obeyed God, built an ark, and he was delivered and those who came with him. That's an amazing picture of what can happen to people who trust in God. In many ways, we have a calling like Noah. We're calling people on an ark of safety. It's Jesus Christ. And to many, it seems ridiculous. And yet we're staking our whole life and existence upon it now and throughout eternity because we're doing it by faith. Not wishful thinking. We're convinced. This is real. A We're going to pour out our lives in this direction. Abel, Enoch, Noah. There's some examples of what can happen in a person's life if they live by faith and draw on God's grace. Here are two great ones, though. I mean, classic, Abraham and Sarah. Love to read about those two. What people of faith, both of them. Sure, we can point out the times when they walked by sight and they blew it. It's another thing I like about Hebrews 11. It shows the graciousness of God's grace. Yeah, the scriptures show us the shortcomings of many of the children of God. But here, looking back on their lives, kind of their heavenly report card, what God wants to talk about is their faith. I mean, they're now with the Lord. That's, you know, all the failures and foibles, they're done and gone. Now God says, let me tell you what was good in their lives, and the same kind of things can happen in your life if you'll walk by faith. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By trusting in the Lord, Abraham was able to obey, to respond to a very stretching call. He's able to follow God, stepping out, not knowing where it was all leading. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in a strange land. By faith, he awaited patiently the fulfillment of God's promises. And of course, this is what we are called to do. Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. Pretty heavy summary of Abraham. And him as good as dead. Were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Didn't look too good for Abraham, but God wasn't done. Innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Oh, this is great. By faith, through dependence upon the Lord. That is, we're told exactly, by considering the one who promised as faithful, Sarah was enabled to do the impossible. She was past the childbearing years. The only way she could have a child is God had to come through. And she bore a child when she was past the age. She bore a child when it was impossible for her to bear a child because, and here was her faith, she judged him faithful who had promised. Now it seems like she had quite a laugh at first. Isaac means laughter, and it's kind of like a double intention, because at first there was like the laughter of disbelief. You know, I'm going to what? And God said to Abraham, no, she didn't laugh. I heard her. She laughed. But then when the child came, there was another laughter. The laughter of joy. The laughter of blessing. The laughter of answered prayer. Sarah. Tremendous example. Tremendous example. Living by faith. What can happen if a person lives by faith? She did the impossible, bore a child when there was no way, that is, that she could do it, but no problem for God. What a great example of what can happen in people's lives. And the implications. Think of the implications. The implications impacted a multitude of lives. A nation that would be chosen came from this. You and I are here seeking the Lord, searching out the Word, because we're in this line of faith. Who knows what God wants to do in your life, my life, if we'll just trust Him. Just trust Him. Not be mighty, just trust the mighty God. Not accomplish great things, trust God to do great things. Just believe Him. Oh, it's huge. And thank the Lord, the Scriptures do let us know that Abraham and Sarah were people like us. They're people like us. When things got tough, Abraham schemed and lied and plotted and turned to Egypt and endangered the very life of his wife. I mean, we're not talking about well-adjusted people. We're talking about, quote, dysfunctional humanity. You'll excuse the expression. You're like washing my mouth now. I don't like those terms. Like, ooh, I can't believe I said that. Yeah, they're sinners just like us. Just like us. They needed God, and He came through. By faith. Oh, living by faith. So wondrous, so important, so critical, so majestic, so full of heavenly potential. Only the will and the ways of God are the limits. Wow. Again, Abraham and Sarah, verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. They could have turned back. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Abraham and Sarah, by faith, they were of those who lived as pilgrims and strangers on the earth, all the while awaiting God's fullness in the heavenly land yet to come. See, Abraham and Sarah did have an amazing life here on earth. They trusted in God. He came through. God used them. Good things happened on earth. But they caught on along the way. It was bigger than a promised piece of geography. And they started longing for a better country, a heavenly country, a forever land with God, heaven. And with that as their hope and expectation, they lived as pilgrims on earth. Hey, we're just traveling through. They didn't sink their roots deep into this world, into this planet, into its provisions and ways. And what an example that is to us, because that's what our calling is. Yeah, God wants to use us. He wants to do big things here in time and space. And He wants us to be His instruments, His vessels. But it's far bigger than that. We're headed for an everlasting home, a better country, fullness of life to the fullest, worship and fellowship with no interference and distraction. God wants to make this a good promised land, that is, us live in the land of His promises. But this is only going to be a foretaste of what's to come. And we can rightly live here with great expectation for there if we'll approach it by faith. Faith that God knows what He's doing now, but faith that far more yet remains in heaven above. That's the kind of example Abraham and Sarah are. 1 Peter 2:11 reminds us this is our calling too. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In other words, I beseech you as travelers on a spiritual pilgrimage toward heaven, live in a heavenly manner. And Abraham and Sarah are good examples of that. They did that by faith. That's how we're going to do it. How can you live a heavenly kind of life increasingly on earth, and all the while rest assured that you're headed for fullness of heavenly experience in glory above? It's by faith. by just counting on, trusting in what God tells us in His Word and trusting Him to work in us to enable us and use us now, give us that full expectation someday. It's by faith. Abraham and Sarah, such great examples of that. Here's more. Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By trusting in the Lord, Abraham was enabled to obey God and offer up Isaac, Abraham's only begotten son. You know, in the sense that Jesus is God's only begotten son. Yeah. Abraham had another son and would have other ones. But the one he had, Ishmael, was not the right kind of son. It wasn't a son by promise that was by human ingenuity. Isaac was his only begotten, his uniquely begotten son, his properly begotten son. Just like God has many children, including us, but Jesus is the only begotten son in the sense of uniquely begotten. No one born of woman like Jesus, a virgin. No one born with an eternal history before they're born. He's the only begotten son. A real picture there of Isaac. And here was Isaac. All the promises were tied up in this lad, this young man. This was the one through whom the mighty nation would come, through whom the blessing would go to all the nations of the earth. God says, lay him on the altar. Boy, it just staggers my mind. Having a couple sons, one of our five grandkids, a grandson. Man, just, oh, the thought. To lay them on an altar, view them as dead and gone, because that's what the altar was for. How did Abraham do that? He did it by faith. How are we going to go through the tough times when God calls us to lay things back in His hands? Where He has to be the one who comes through or it's all over. Even things He may be laid on our heart and promised, assured us, this is where He's leading, this is what He's going to do. He says, yeah, lay it on the altar. Wow. How do you do that? Only by faith. Only by trusting that God knows what He's doing. He's trustworthy. And because of the promises, Abraham knew if Isaac dies on this altar, God can't deny His promise. He's going to have to somehow raise him. Well, if He wants him on the altar and He's still going to make a mighty nation out of him, he just concluded, verse 19, here was his faith. That God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He trusted in the resurrection power of God. And we're told in a figurative sense, he received him back as it were from the dead. As a type of resurrection. When Abraham laid him on the altar, he was a dead son. It's all over. When God stopped him, put the ram, the sacrifice in his place, it's as though he received him back from the dead. Sure. Beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, dying in our place. But the point here is, what happens when you live by faith? That's the point here. Well, we're called to those moments that are, I'm sure, as difficult for us as that was for Abraham with Isaac. And yet, even if it's something we know God wants to do and we lay it on the altar, He'll raise it back up. He'll raise it back up. Some of you have shared testimonies like that. You laid on the altar something that you sensed God wanted to do, but it wasn't time, and God is saying, not now, and lay it down, let it die. Let me be the one who gives it life and moves it on. We've sure seen God work that way in our home and ministry. But how can you do that? By trusting in the Lord, Abraham was enabled to obey God and offer up his only begotten son, the very promised one, and he did it relying on God's resurrection power if it was needed. And that's what's available to us too. Resurrection power. Let's look at a few more examples of living by faith. What can come from it? What God can do to bring us through if we're living by trust in Him. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The account of all this would be found back in Genesis. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith in the Lord, Isaac pronounced a prophetic blessing upon Jacob and Esau. Even though there was some trickery and confusion and jealousy on their part, still by faith, Isaac pronounced that prophetic blessing. Then Jacob, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Jacob pronounced similar blessings like Isaac did upon his sons, blessed them upon his seed. Those are also found in Genesis 48, and they pertained to the promised land even while they were still in Egypt. What steps of faith these were, looking ahead to God's faithfulness. Then also Joseph himself, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Now, this is an interesting one. He died outside of the promised land. As an act of faith in the Lord's promised plan to send Israel back into the land of Canaan, Joseph asked that his bones be carried back there with Israel for burial. I think the point is obvious, that this is a spiritual confession of faith. I mean, in the big picture, where bones are buried is not that big an issue in God's kingdom. But Joseph saw implications there. Hey, I'm dying here, but just as an exercise of faith in the faithfulness of the promises of God, I know you're going back. So take my bones with you. It'd kind of be an encouragement to the children when they took them back. Oh, remember, Joseph knew this was going to happen. He had faith. Let's have faith. And we know this was a matter of faith, not superstition or something, right? How do we know it? It says, by faith. God tells us. He did this by faith. This wasn't something he's afraid to leave his bones in a foreign land. Nothing like that. By faith, Joseph made mention of their departure and gave instructions. It was an act of faith, trusting God to keep his word.